now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm a blank long line. On today's show, he made headlines 9 years old, now 22. Henry Patterson takes us ahead of his talks to us ahead. You're spelling, Mr. Shilton. Debut album Broadway, maybe.
You know, you've only read that four times while you've been sat there. And it's Eurovision season, usually the time when the LGBT community come together and shine with the light. But what's your take on it this year?
Or today?
Right here on Shout Out.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hey, has Lara been giving you lessons in the last week?
Oh, if you listen back to the many, many months, one does love to do a ba-bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was with us last week.
Yeah,
wasn't she?
She was, and
she
was delightful.
Bum, bum.
Yeah.
So, how are you? Are you back on Ezra form? I did notice when Lara was there, you go very quiet.
Well, Lara has a lot of very positively wonderful energy.
Oh, yes, very true.
And, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm in this space more, and sometimes I have to just, you know, bow out, you know, and give up the stage for other people.
That must be very difficult
Hello.
For you.
You don't do it for us.
Nah. Just for the ones I like. Just kidding. No, I'm good, thank you. Quite warm up here.
It is, yeah. But, although it's not particularly warm outside yet. I am hoping the weather's going to change soon.
Yeah.
Although if it's sunny and cool,
we have
by
had
the time
many
we get
a
for
gust.
Pride, we'll be quite happy because it was very hot last year, wasn't it?
Talking of Pride, we got a statement from Pride.
Yes,
about
there's been an awful lot happening this week. If you haven't seen social media, there's been all kinds of things. But we will fill you in full later on in the show when we've got a proper slot for it. We won't cover it in the minute and a half we've got at the moment. So,
that's quite true,
yes,
Andrew.
It is. Yes.
Well noticed.
Yes, Stephanie. So, in case you're wondering why she said, and I'm blank line, it's because she didn't tell me who was co-presenting, so I just put a space. You know,
well,
I mean, these people who don't prepare.
I like to let you choose these days, you know, so you feel relaxed and chilled with the person that's sitting right next to you.
You scare me.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
We have an omission.
Yeah. Do you know my ex-manager, AstraZeneca, said that to me one day?
Anyone else?
In for an
three
appraisal.
For three?
He said, Steph, do you know something? He said, you scare me. I said, what?
You're only scary when you're very slightly intimidating, which is when you do like that deadpan face. Oh, hang
she
on, that's
that
all the
so
time.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, whereas Terry, there is nothing scary about Terry Starr. Who is sat to my left?
Terry, where the mics go off.
Oh, I mean, I have, but the listeners. The listeners haven't.
Yes.
Yeah, the Terry, the listeners, the Terry that you
hear. He sounds all placid on the radio.
It's not the Terry we know.
Oh, you should hear what he says in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Unfiltered Terry Starr. Maybe we should have an after dark of just the unfiltered Terry Starr. What do you think, Terry?
Well,
as long as Tom Daly can be there, let me guess.
He's acting like he's being set up.
So, Jason Donovan this year, we're looking forward
Jason
to that.
Jason Donovan at Pride, yes.
He's Don.
Do you reckon Pride are going to let the Jason Donovan into the arena?
I would love
arena?
That.
That would just
be good.
Brilliant, wouldn't it? They parked it up next to the
Maybe
stage.
Maybe they could just Donovan, come backstage.
He has actually visited the van.
He has, so yes.
There's a picture of it on the side of the van, in fact.
Yeah, it's a really good lineup this year. It's going to be really good fun, I think.
And, Sister Sledge,
Yes, they're very good, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Now, talking of nice voices, the lovely Henry Patterson.
Yeah, it was amazing. He did some work with the BBC, as you'll hear. 4 million people listened to that because it was a BBC news podcast with Laura Koonsberg, and he was helping them. All detail will follow right now.
And we got a song of his coming up as well. So,
we have, from his new album.
Yes, if you're not listening on the podcast, because we have to edit it out for that. So you'll hear a little bit. But he's got a really nice voice, so you know, go back and listen to it live.
Our next guest for Shout Out started at a very young age, only 9, but I bet, Henry, you started a lot earlier than that. When's your first memories of singing into that hairbrush?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I think my first memory singing on stage was probably at a talent contest when I was on holiday. In the middle of July, we went on a summer holiday, and I think I decided to sing, because it was the only thing in my repertoire, I decided to sing Last Christmas in the middle of July, which, you know, that's just what happens, really. But I remember that fondly as the first time, and I got, you know, afterwards the audience decided to applaud, and I thought, oh my goodness, you can get applause for this. And I think I kind of caught the bug quite early on of just wanting to sing.
So was 9 years old your first actual performance in public?
Well, I performed for a while, you know, school plays, etc. I remember when I was about 7 or 8, my school did a production of Annie, and my teacher, when he gave me the script, because I was fairly rebellious at school. I mean, not in like a terrible way, just in a musical theatre way. And I remember my teacher, when he gave me the script, he came up to me and he went, "We're giving you this role, but we can take it away."
Oh,
it's the most brutal. It was the most brutal introduction to the world of showbiz. But then after that, I went on to had a kind of slightly strange beginning of my career, where I ended up starting a business, and then did some public speaking around the world. So performing kind of took a slightly different route for me there, because it turned into public speaking and then eventually circled back around into theatre.
Mm. So did you start off in amateur dramatics, and then, you know, after the school play, that is, and then work your way up? Because you're about to drop a new album, aren't you?
I am, yes. So it was very strange, my kind of entrance into musical theatre, because I always had such a passion for it. It's always been a kind of huge, huge love of mine. And it wasn't really until COVID, during the 2020 presidential election, where I started to kind of treat it as a career. It was such a strange way to get into theatre. Because no one really had anything better to do in COVID, I found myself glued to the news and listening to the circus of US politics in 2020, and found myself writing musical theatre parodies based on the events happening in America. And those eventually got picked up by the BBC Americast, which at the time was hosted by Emily Maitlis and John Sopel. And then basically ended up getting 20 million views on TikTok, which was wild and just kind of mental to be singing all that jazz as Joe Biden, or, you know, some kind of other US political figure. But it kind of started this strange trajectory of finding a place in musical theatre, and fast forward, you know, 4 or 5 years, and now I'm about to drop Broadway Maybe, my first album.
Wow, that's what an incredible journey. And it looks as though it took you by surprise as well.
It did.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about your album you've got coming out.
Absolutely. So it's called Broadway Maybe. We were very lucky to record it at Abbey Road Studios in March. So, I mean, just a crazy historical studio to record it in. And the kind of general concept of the album, it's musical theatre as you've never heard it before. So we've kind of repackaged a lot of songs that I feel people would be quite happy never hearing again, because they're so iconic, but, you know, we've heard them a lot of times. Songs like I Know Him So Well from Chess, songs from Annie, I Could Have Danced All Night, West Side Story, loads of songs that people are so familiar with. But we've changed the kind of packaging, we've changed the vehicle, and between myself and my incredible musical director, Lee Stanford Thompson, we've rearranged these songs in a slightly jazzy contemporary setting. So it should be a really fresh way for people to experience musical theatre.
Mm. Now, is it all solos with you, or have you got like a backing choir or backing singers?
It's just solos with me for this first one. I have an incredible band working with me. And that's kind of been the beauty of it, because we've taken on some songs. Like I mentioned, we did I Know Him So Well, which is famously a female duet. And we've turned it into a male solo, which is so felt so strange when singing it for the first time. And to be honest, whilst I was in the recording booth and, you know, you get to the chorus and you go, wasn't it good? And all you want to do is, oh, so good. And, you know, you just want to keep on doing the other line.
How did you work that out? Did you sing to yourself? Did you do both parts or did you have to change the lyrics?
So the wonderful thing about the album and why I really love it is we've changed zero lyrics for the most part. So for all songs other than one, and I'll get to that one in a moment, but all songs other than one, we've kept them just as they are. And that's my musical director, Lee, is just so talented at making that work. So we kind of bent the rhythm a little bit, and I know him so well. So where that overlap happens, it can be done as a live solo. So it's not being overdubbed. It's just, you know, we've just slightly bent it so it all fits. And the amazing thing is when you do that, it makes it sound like an entirely new song that was written that way. So I'm very lucky to have the team I do. But the one lyric I did change, which we had, we're the first people to get permission to do this, which is wild, is In My Life from Les Mis. The writers of Les Mis very kindly gave us permission to kind of tweak a few lyrics in the song, and we're the first ever cover of that song on an album, so I'm really excited to
Henry, that's quite incredible, isn't it?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very incredible. And to be able to record where the Beatles started to record as well, Abbey Road, their own studio.
It was such a strange experience. I mean, I kind of walked in thinking, I don't deserve to be here. I'm not good enough to be here. And you walk around the building and you just get such an amazing sense of the history, and the team there are so lovely. They have really good food as well. That's one thing I want to shout out.
Did you do the zebra crossing walk?
You know, the day of the recording, my band all did it. I did not do the zebra crossing walk because I was just so locked in. I was so in the zone that I didn't really think about it, which is kind of tragic, but I'll probably go back and do it at some point.
Well, for your second album, I guess you'll be going back to Abbey Road, then you can do it then, but don't forget, because that is a special moment in there, that photograph.
I will do it for album two. You've got my word.
Now, let's go on into the future. Now, I'm taking it that this album's going to be really successful for you because your career seems to be quite magical from a very young age.
Right now, the album's still technically the future because it's not out just yet, but May the 15th. So once that's out, I mean, it's going to be a good few months of just kind of spending time with the album being out in public, which I'm really excited to share with people. And then following that, I've got a series of live shows coming up this year. We have one with an incredible big band on the 4th of July, which we're going to play all of the album arrangements at Pizza Express Live Soho, and we're going to be playing all of the album with a big band, which I'm so excited for. We have some concerts in December with the album as well, but the ones I'm most excited for, and these are all happening at the Crazy Cox, is a new series I've been working on called House Seats, which is a kind of musical theatre talk show, and where I'll be sitting down with some of the West End's biggest stars and talking to them about their career and singing through their career. And we did our first show with Ian McIntosh a few months ago, who's currently playing Jean Valjean in Les Mis. And we just had the most amazing response. And so we've decided to bring it back for two more shows in September and November of this year. So I can't wait to bring those back.
Wow, how exciting is that?
I'm very much looking forward to it. And the guests haven't been announced yet, but watch this space because we have some amazing people coming on.
Okay. Now, some personal things. What is your favorite show tune ever?
Oh my goodness. What an evil question that is. wow. Okay. Favorite show tune ever. I mean, I've been kind of obsessed recently with the newest cast recording of Sunset Boulevard. So the Nicole Scherzinger one, and the one that I'll probably have on repeat, and the one that Weirdly I've been playing at the gym recently is With One Look, which, when do you ever play With One Look at the gym? Now, I guess. But that's probably one of my faves. But it's so hard to pick. I mean, there are some soundtracks that are just unbeatable. You know, West Side Story is such a classic.
My favorite West Side Story.
Absolutely. In fact,
that was the first movie I ever saw when I was 8 years old.
Was it really?
Yeah, it had a huge impact on me. So do you like the old movies like My Fair Lady, South Pacific? And
I love all of them. And, you know, they're such incredible. Look, in my opinion, I don't think musicals are written like that anymore. And I think it's such a shame. And hopefully there'll be some resurgence of some of those beautiful soaring melodies from those old shows. And what I really am thrilled about, and actually the love for those old shows and those old movies, is kind of what brought on the set list of the album. Because when I was doing some of my shows in London last year, and I would sing lots of these songs from old musicals and golden age movies, and I would sing them, and then young people, I remember one interaction in particular where this 19-year-old kind of Essex footballer came up to me. He must have been at the wrong show, but he came up to me and he said, "That, what on earth was that song that you sung at the end there? I mean, that was just so beautiful." And it was "I Could Have Danced Tonight" from My Fair Lady. And I was like, oh, it's this song. He was like, "Wait, that was musical theatre." And I went, "Yes, absolutely." And I think that's what's so refreshing about being able to repackage and repurpose some of these older songs, is they're going to reach a whole new generation of people who might classically think they don't connect with musical theatre because it has a stigma or it has whatever. But actually, when you look at, you know, something like West Side Story, as you said, I mean, it's not a, so many people will be able to connect to that. And I think it's wonderful that hopefully a new generation of people are going to find it.
Yeah, maybe that could be your next project, Henry.
Who knows? Who knows? Something's coming, as they say.
Yeah, and that is my favourite from My Fair Lady as well. I Could Have Danced All Night. It's just something about that joy in her as she spins around in that old house and gets dragged upstairs for a bath. And
yes, well, you're going to enjoy track two on the album then.
Oh, yeah, I really can't wait. I can't wait. Now, before we go, Henry, can we have your social medias and the website where people can follow you? And obviously the track's going to be available absolutely everywhere.
Hopefully. My social medias, my Instagram is @TheHenryP, and it's the same for TikTok as well. And then to get the album, you can pre-save and pre-order the album. We have it on all formats, streaming, CD and vinyl. The vinyl is wonderful. And if you don't have a record player, it makes a good coaster. At bewaymaybe.com.
A coaster, that's sacrilege, Henry.
Honestly, some of my friends were like, "I'm going to buy one, but I don't have a player. I'm just going to look at it." I went, it can collect some dust or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know. I got Cilla Black on original 7-inch behind me from the 60s, one of my favourite tracks. But it's absolutely not used as a coaster.
Well, now I know someone won't be using it as a coaster. That's good.
Henry Patterson, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out. And I can't wait to listen to the album. And good luck going forward.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
Okay, Henry, whenever you're ready.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The lovely Henry Patterson there with I Could Have Danced Tonight.
Released
My Fair Lady.
Right, what's the date on Thursday evening? And for most of our stations, we're on Friday.
Tomorrow's the 14th.
So it's released on the 15th. Yeah. Fair
Super
folk.
Duper. That was beautiful. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, what a lovely voice.
Nice. I love musicals. Beautiful voice.
Yeah, I haven't seen My Fair Lady in years. So anyway, we have a little bit of a change of tempo coming up, because after the news, I've got some of the Eurovision ones.
Ooh.
I know it's very divided this year, but it's still happening.
Yes, but there are still people who enjoy it, and there are listeners out there who would like to hear it. So that's what we're here for.
Yes, but don't turn us off if you hate it. It's only for 1 week, I promise.
All right.
You know. So are you watching it? We're kind of going into this feature a little bit, but are you going to put it on in the background?
Yes, I will watch it. I won't be watching it like I did many, many years ago.
Last year we had a party at mine, didn't we?
Yeah.
Was that last year or year before?
Yeah, glitter everywhere.
Well, to be honest, Andy, if you put on a shindig, I'll be there for the shindig.
Yeah. I don't think many people watch the TV. They're listening
just a shame that it's going to be a bit flat, isn't it? Because of the protests and the country's pulling out.
It's because they've made some... Interesting decisions. I'm not going to share my political opinion, but interesting decisions have been made by Eurovision.
Well, I'll tell you what, after the news, I will play our entry, which is by Look Mum, No Computer.
Are you singing it?
No.
Oh, not Shout Out Century. Just kidding, the UK.
It's called Eins Frei Drei. 250-1 are the odds.
Wow.
Whoa.
That much, hey? 19th, they reckon we're roughly going to come somewhere.
So we're going to win then?
Yeah. Although, bless him, I don't know if you saw the news, but his other half has just given birth, literally, like in the last few days. And he's out there in Vienna to do Eurovision.
Congratulations. So,
should we get some news headlines?
Go on then.
Shout out news. Welcome along.
Progressive groups, networks and charities have begun to sift through the wreckage of the local English elections, which took place on May 7th, along with the polls of the Scottish and Welsh devolved parliaments. Zach Polanski's leadership of the Green Party saw the party surge by picking up left of enter votes that would otherwise have gone to the unpopular Labour Party. Mr. Polanski is both gay and Jewish and is the first gay leader of a major political party since Adam Price of Plaid Cymru. Plaid did very well at the Welsh Assembly elections, becoming the largest single party. On its 100th anniversary year, Plaid has now had a chance to forward the radical policies, including a firm commitment to LGBTQ+ freedom that has underlined its development over the last half century. Green Party deputy leader Mothin Ali told left-wing weekly newspaper Socialist Worker why the party's message appealed to people. "We are the only party talking about the cost of living crisis and the message cut through," he said. "Affordable housing, rent controls, higher taxes for the wealthy, all over the country, it is a message that resonated. The two-party system is dead. It is now Greens versus Reforms UK. Reform UK, my apologies. That means we have to bring people together to defeat the far right and their divisive hatred." The Reform Party gained over 1,000 seats in the English county and city council elections and was arguably the overall winner. They have some prominent white gay men on their portfolio, but few people in the LGBTQ+ movement believe that Reform will bring about positive change for our community. Rather, they will slash funding for equalities and diversity projects and charities and normalise right-wing discourse. Unison, the public sector trade union, wrote in its U Bulletin for Activists that where Reform councillors have been elected, already people are more cautious about raising equality issues such as pronouns or sponsorship of Asian Melis or African issues. "Over the coming weeks, we shall continue to focus on the new shape of politics and see how it's impacting LGBTQI+ communities."
The Women's Health Consortium, an alliance of dozens of women's organisations, and All Out, the LGBTQIA international human rights group, have joined forces to expose an agenda behind a family values conference together in Africa, which distorts African traditions with fundamentalist missionary extremism. In a press release, All Out and the Women's Health Consortium say in early June, Ghana will host a major conference on so-called African family values. It's presented as a gathering of African parliamentarians defending their culture and sovereignty, but it isn't. Behind the local faces and the sovereignty language, two foreign operatives are importing an anti-rights agenda into the continent. We name them as Sharon Slater of Family Watch International and Henk Jan van Schothorst of the Christian Council International of the Netherlands. Now, this is not the first time. Since 2023, Slater and van Schothorst have thrown African MPs to Entebbe, trained them in their agenda and sent them home to sponsor legislation. The Anti-Homosexuality Act in Uganda and the Human Sexual Rights and Family Values Bill in Ghana, all of it was funded from abroad, dressed up as African values. This time the stakes are even higher. The conference is designed to produce a draft charter that Slater and van Schothorst intend to submit to the African Union, a document that would enshrine discrimination against LGBT+ people across the continent. Ghana's democratic credibility is being used to give it legitimacy. But Africa is watching. The petitions to say, we know who funded this, we know whose agenda this is, and we will not let it happen in our name, is now online. All individuals and groups wishing to register their horror at what is planned at the conference can sign the All Out petition at their website, allout.org.
Stop Funding Hate, the lobby group that persuades advertisers to question advertising campaigns in hateful newspapers and on right-wing TV networks, says that after lobbying, Britain's broadcast regulator is no longer letting the transgender critical station GB News get away with bias any longer. A spokesperson for Stop Funding Hate reported, following months of pressure, Ofcom has finally opened an investigation into GB News over a notoriously one-sided interview with Donald Trump in November. This comes after Stop Funding Hate submitted a detailed complaint. And after more than 1,000 of us wrote to our MPs urging them to help fix Ofcom, Britain's dysfunctional broadcasting regulator has repeatedly refused to uphold its rules in recent years and has seemed especially reluctant to investigate or sanction GB News. With a new Ofcom chair now in place, today's news that the media regulator is investigating GB News may be a sign that things could at last be starting to go in a better direction. However, it's also clear there's still a lot of work to do before Britain has a broadcasting regulator that is fit for purpose, so it's vital that we keep up the pressure. If you want to find out more about pressuring Ofcom to sanction GB News and similar networks, visit allthews.stopfundinghate.info/get-involved/take-action-Ofcom.
Thanks, Ez. Now, finally, this Saturday night is the annual festival of campery and costume that is the Eurovision Song Contest. Sometimes described as the gay FA Cup, the Grand Prix of Musical Madness takes place this year in Vienna. It will be broadcast by public service broadcasters across Europe, including BBC One in the United Kingdom and RTE One in Ireland. The European Broadcasting Union, which puts it on, says broadcasters from 35 countries will be participating in the 2026 contest. Bulgaria returns after a 3-year absence. Romania returns after a 2-year absence. And Moldova returns after 1 year. On the other hand, Iceland, Ireland, the Netherlands, Slovenia and Spain, all of which participated last year, have opted not to take part in protest at the inclusion of Israel in the context of the Gaza war, as well as the Israeli government's attempts to influence the results in previous editions of the contest. This marks the largest boycott in the contest's history since 1970. So, grab yourself a few vegetarian canapés, pour a glass of organic wine, and settle in on Saturday from 8 p.m. to watch the spectacle unfold.
That's news for this week. We will be back with more next time, so why not check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Ezra Peregrine.
Douze point.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That's your entry for this year's Science by Drive by Look Mum New Computer.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Steph, is that code like for what?
Do you like it?
It's awful.
So does that mean he's got more of a chance for us winning?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, potentially.
Potentially.
Who was it that we heard the other day and I thought, yeah, I like that? Was that on yesterday's?
It was on Martin Spalace's Nostalgia on Tuesday morning.
There was something played. I can't think what country it was, and I thought, I like that.
I wonder if it... Because the odds-on favourite is Finland.
It might be Finland,
with Lycanhaithin, I think is how you say it. I'm not Finnish, so I don't know. But it basically means flamethrower.
It might be that one,
It is the odds-on. Would you like to hear a bit?
Go on, then.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Very powerful song, isn't it?
I absolutely love that.
I like that one.
Yeah. A bit of techno kind of style.
Yeah,
going
and the
on
violin's
there.
Just incredible. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's the old song one. I quite like the Greek one. I don't know if you've heard that yet.
Is it French? are they singing in
you're,
French?
You're spoiled. No, they're singing in Greek, funnily enough.
Oh, sorry. Of course. I knew that.
They are actually the second odds on to win. And the song's called Furto, which is Greek for bring it. And it's all about... he's actually quite a well-known pop star over in Greece. And he basically went from having, you know, quite a poor background to obviously making loads of money through music. So this is all about him kind of like repeating the same and supporting his mother and family.
Okay.
And the song, I won't read out the lyric, but basically they're all about, I want this and I want that and blah, 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 you know, and it's like bring it kind of thing, which in Greek is fertile. So have a listen to this.
The Shout Out Podcast.
See what I mean? It's a bit kind of like I saw you doing the dancing there, a bit techno, isn't it?
I didn't like the first bit. It's the sort of thing you'd hear in a nightclub, isn't it, when you're out your brains on something.
I wouldn't know.
Well, I wouldn't either. But I've seen people.
Yeah, people that take too much sherbet dab on them. Yeah.
I do love a dib dab before a night out. I mean, the old 90s nostalgic lollipop and sherbet. But that is a great song. I heard that far too early in the morning.
Are you noticing a trend?
What's the trend? Playing that at 9 o'clock.
It was too early.
That way you were, weren't it? So now to give you a bit of background, five countries have actually pulled out of this year's Eurovision. Spain, Ireland, the Netherlands, Slovenia and Iceland. All of them obviously citing that they can't justify Israel competing given the war in Gaza and the humanitarian crisis. Past winners have also returned trophies, believe it or not. Nemo, Conchita Wurst, Johnny Logan. Some fan sites have suspended coverage. Some fans report even being confronted at venues. You know, it's got quite that. After the issues with Israel and voting last year, because the government ran a vote promotion.
Yeah, that was very odd.
Didn't they? This year, the EBU have halved the max votes from 20 to 10. I didn't even know you could vote 20 times.
Yeah, it's
I don't
crazy,
even think to do it once.
Yeah.
And I they issued blame a them formal warning to the Israel's broadcaster a few days ago. So
I don't blame them pulling out. It's and for I don't blame people not watching it.
No,
it's,
but on the plus
it's
side,
it's very stressful for what now we must stress that it's not the Israeli people that are doing this. It's their government that are
That's
doing
right.
this. And they've killed thousands of innocent civilians just to get Hamas. Now, I haven't got time for Hamas or Hezbollah because they're just gangsters. But
she says,
for Israel to be doing what they were doing, it was, it's a genocide. And I don't get how a country can do that when their history, and we look back to the Second World War, I don't understand it. I really don't. I'm confused.
But on the other side of it, I mean, Eurovision has always been billed as being apolitical, and the whole point of it was after World War II to bring
absolutely
all the
countries together.
The EBU have said that Israel's participation is in line with the rules. That's probably the biggest.
But I think their argument is they threw Russia out for invading Ukraine.
Does seem to be slightly inconsistent.
Some countries, including Germany, reportedly threatened to withdraw if Israel were banned. So some people do feel very strongly the other way. And whatever you say, the Vienna final sold out in 14 minutes. It's the fastest ticket sales ever.
Don't you think, though, there's a lot of polarisation on this planet currently?
Yeah.
And most of it's
and
coming out of the orange
tall.
Bimbo in the States.
Himbo.
He is causing so much anger, especially against the LGBTQ community, but also people of colour are taking a hit. He's just tearing the world apart.
Well, he's also alienated some of his own supporters. I mean, the picture of him as Jesus of Nazareth has really upset
that went down very badly,
a lot of conservative Christians who were just like,
that's why you don't give an old president access to AI. But what was funny is the rest of the world also have access to AI, so I don't know if you saw any of the memes that went afterwards.
The Iranian Lego ones.
Was funny. So anyway, whichever way you feel about Eurovision, boycott it this year or enjoy it or just have it on in the background, you know, I mean, it was this time last year, we're all going, it's something that brings us together, and it is very well known for bringing the community together. Yeah. As a side note, if you don't want to watch this year's, the one from, I think it's 1974, where ABBA won with Waterloo,
they did indeed,
you can watch on BBC iPlayer.
Amazing.
So if you don't want to watch this year's one, you can watch that. It's worth a look because back then there was about 8 or 9 countries, far less countries entered than
about 12 or 15.
I think Ireland TV is playing back-to-back Father Ted's.
Oh, really?
Are they really? What, RTE?
Yeah.
They're not broadcasting. I heard they were, so I stand corrected.
Yeah, as far as I know, they decided not to go with it. Yeah, well, that leads us into Bristol Pride and
the
kerfuffle that's happening there, which is so sad.
Do you want to take up the story, Steph?
How
did it all start?
It started at the UWE, and they were only one of two universities that actually brought in the rules that the Equalities Commission brought out after the Supreme Court ruling.
And for those of you not local, UWE's University of the West of England.
Second Bristol University, basically. So they decided they were going to follow those guidelines, even though it wasn't law, and it's now been withdrawn. In reality, we've been told by one of our members who actually works over there, in reality, on the ground, nothing has changed because...
And I thought they were one of the first to have genderless toilets there.
I haven't heard that.
Okay.
No. But anyway, it's the other thing we haven't heard from is that the UA LGBTQ organisations for staff and students, we've given them an opportunity to respond. They haven't. We've reached out to Trans Pride Bristol. They've referred us back to the UE organisations, so we've got nothing from them, only what they've actually done.
So to recap, UE tried to enact the policy, or supposedly enacted the policy that was put out by the first.
We haven't got anything to say that.
But we don't know
that what
true.
Happened. Well, that was true. Well,
do we know that UE definitely did that?
Yes, we do. Yeah, that's a fact.
Okay.
Yeah. So obviously, the trans people were really upset, as they should be.
But that happened last year?
It did, yeah. And I didn't see any protests, and no one got in touch with us to say we're protesting. Can you help us get numbers in? Because I didn't hear the gates being blockaded at the UE. I didn't see the bus station being closed down by people protesting. Didn't hear any of that. So
I was going to say, this is first came on our radar. I was in the last week or so,
it
wasn't
is, it? Because they unfortunately went straight to social media. They haven't engaged with Bristol Pride and Darren.
They being LGBT SOC at UE,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So the first Darren saw of it, Bristol Pride, was the social media saying that the trans community are being invited to sign this petition. They were organising their own event away from Bristol Pride.
What are they accusing Bristol Pride of doing?
Accepting money.
Yeah, from UE. As a sponsor for this year.
Right.
And last year.
Yeah, what is it? Let me read this.
We can't change last year.
I have a statement.
That was a different year.
No, but it was, you're right. It is about this year, right here, right now. But also everything that had come into force within legislation was then acted upon by UE in regards to assigned sex at birth and which toilets you could use. So they'd already made that decision before Pride last year. But I think what's happened
is
over
reality,
the many months...
In reality, that didn't happen. People on the ground were still using the toilets of their choice.
Absolutely. But irrespective of people using the toilets they wish to use, UE have made a very strong decision, which is transphobic. which is to deny trans, to state that trans women cannot use female toilets and that trans men cannot use male toilets. And, yeah. and of course, I do understand the discourse and the upset, but what I'm finding difficult from an outsider looking in is why there's not appearing to have been a conversation prior to going public on social media.
And then we should point out we have contacted all of the groups involved, haven't
yes.
we? We contacted.
We
you,
have.
You contacted,
Trans Pride Bristol responded, and there was a meeting that I assumed Pride were going to be part of, a Zoom meeting. They weren't. It was just the UE LGBTQ societies and Trans Pride Bristol. They've not responded to say what went on. They said we've got to wait for a statement from the UE groups. The problem is that as this goes on, it's causing untold damage. I've got a statement from Darren, which I'll read out, which will explain Darren's viewpoint. But at no time did the UE LGBTQ organisations contact Bristol Pride. Just to check what was going on, there, despite the fact that Bristol Pride have supported the trans community wholeheartedly over the years.
Well, we know they've pulled
they
sponsors
did not,
before.
They did not approach Pride just to check first what was going on.
Yeah.
Because as it turns out, UE aren't sponsoring Bristol Pride this year.
But that's what this is all about.
Indeed. Yes. So let me read the statement from Bristol Pride. And it's so sad that they've refused to, well, not refused, just not responded.
Okay.
This is from Darren of Bristol Pride. We want to affirm that we absolutely stand with the trans community. Following UE updating their trans and non-binary policy after the Supreme Court ruling at the end of last year, we have been working to try and press the university on this matter. As we know, this ruling and EHRC guidance is causing harm and distress to the trans community. We have spoken with local MPs on this matter, raised concerns over the EHRC threatening organisations with legal action, reached out to the Good Law Project for advice, and we have written to the Equalities Minister. We have not yet announced any sponsors for this year's festival, and we have continued to work to seek positive change. We were not contacted with regards to the petition, and whilst it would have meant we could have shared the work we were already doing and outline our position, we acknowledge we could also have been more proactive in sharing this information. We are actively meeting with community members, campaign groups, LGBTQ plus service providers, and the university, along with our board of trustees. After having these conversations, we will be able to make a statement and outline our path forward. As a community, we must stand united in opposing those that seek further erase and erode our rights, and we must all work together to challenge the government legislation and continue to oppose any rulings that discriminate against anyone in the LGBTQ plus community. Thanks. Darren.
Well, big thank you to Darren for that. So, no, we try and keep personal opinion out of it. It's very difficult because this affects members of our team as well. Having done this show for coming up for 16 years, we've had we're involved with Pride. We broadcast it every year. We work with Darren, and you know, I know for a fact they have genuinely kicked out sponsors before for
they have
very similar things.
Yeah,
I know. So I
just find it disappointing that they didn't contact Pride and just shot from the hip and went straight to social media. I don't get that.
And absolutely.
If you're listening, tell us. Come
yeah,
talk to
us.
You've
had your chance. We asked you to contribute to this and tell us. You're obviously all very angry up at the UN, have been for it since this came in. Like I said, we haven't heard of any protests when that did come in. They didn't reach out for help. We have a huge reach
across
Bristol, but the
so
country.
So let's give another opportunity.
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
I feel like this is a really good platform for people to have their say and to express how they're feeling. Just from an emotional point of view, I feel like it's just really heavy and really sad. Because over the last few years, trans, queer, non-binary, LGBTQIA plus people have had so much thrown at them, and we've also had so much taken away. And I was sat in the car this morning, and I don't mind saying this, I cried because I just feel, oh, something else that I was hopeful for to be just purely joyous now feels heavy again, you know, and there's going to be some listeners out there, I think, feeling the same way. Yeah. And I just want to reiterate, you're not alone. There's always going to be safe spaces. I truly hope that there is going to be a resolve to this. And also from speaking with Darren over the years and from doing the shout out broadcast for Pride, I can say my personal opinion is he's an incredible person, and I think that Pride Bristol is an incredible event. Mm-hmm. And I do hope that this can move forward in a really beautiful, loving, kind and wholesome way. That's not for me to distract or to take away from people's feelings, because everybody's feelings
I don't think anyone's trying to take valid. Away from anyone's feelings.
But I just want a resolve.
Pride does so much for us and for our community, and I know for a fact that they would, I mean, just reading that statement, you can tell they're upset that the community is upset, and boycotting Pride, I don't personally feel it's the right approach.
I personally don't think
Pride are the drivers of this.
No. But as yet, we've not had Trans Pride Bristol respond either.
The drivers are TERFs.
Yes, indeed.
And TERFs want division.
Yes, we all.
And I don't want any more division. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very important indeed. That the community is not divided by this, because as Ezra said, one of the strategies of TERFs and associated groups is to put wedges between elements of our community so that we won't stand up for each other.
That's right.
Between feminists and trans women, for example, between gay men and bisexual men, for example.
Yes.
And so it goes on. Yeah. And it's important to resist that.
Can you imagine if they'd have said something at the beginning when this happened, the support they would have had if we'd have got behind
it? Yeah, and we don't know the ins and outs. And I think that's why it's even more important that we do, you know, have an opportunity to speak to everybody who would like to speak to us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people can come together and actually be supportive of one another.
And I just want to say the door is never shut.
No.
So it's never too late to get in touch with
us.
So please do. This needs sorting.
Shout Out Radio of some sort on all socials, and you can email studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt if you would like to get hold of us. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to even hear your views if you're not part of it and you're listening, and or you've seen the social media and you're wondering. Let's know your thoughts. We'll keep you up to date over the next few weeks.
Yeah. It's just sad. I feel really sad. And like you, cried this morning in the car because of it.
Yeah,
and we don't know if Eurovision should even cheer us up at the weekend.
Everything. I just feel like everything feels heavy. And I think that as LGBTQ, we just need literal, like, an emotional rainbow to just penetrate.
Well, Eurovision used to be that, didn't it? And now it's not. And Pride used to be. But now the joy is now being sucked from that.
Potentially.
I'll have to bring in some, like, party poppers next week or something.
Can you be dressed as a party popper? In a kilt.
In a kilt?
Yeah.
I'd wear my kilt for Pride.
Oh, but I'm sad.
My rainbow kilt.
Andy,
it's
sad.
The only time I get my pasty legs out.
What about if Pride? I get my pasty legs out?
Wow. We haven't had enough sun yet this year for anything resembling a suntan, have we?
We haven't.
It's been quite cold.
Yeah.
So, but apparently heat waves are on the way in the next few weeks.
Ish.
So.
I'm a bit of a vampire, really. I like the shelter. I like the cold. I like the shade.
I'll let you into a little secret. Coming in a couple of weeks' time, we're going mad fabulous. The shout out.
You what?
Shout out special mad fabulous. That as well.
I look forward to that.
It's a brilliant film.
I look forward to it.
And Ez is going to do some brilliant research behind the scenes.
I will indeed.
Too, so.
Of course.
Anyway, that's it for this week. As we said, if you want to get in touch or if you'd like to get involved in the radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a shout. Get in touch.
Plus, all our shows are available as podcasts on all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
We'll be back next week, as always, from myself, from Terry, from Ez, from Steph, and a big thank you to Darren as well. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.